high standing individual. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here on a feel good football Friday. It is Friday, October 8th, 2020.
Football Friday now, you added to it.
What?
Is it feel good football Friday?
Feel good football Friday. Yeah, a lot of F's.
Did you also just question my integrity on the onset of the show?
No, right away. I wouldn't do that. Would not do that, at all. Good.
That was rich.
It is October 8th. It is Sturch. It is Gooch. AJ Bascone is not here today. He did provide us with his Feel Good Friday football picks. That's 2 weeks in a row, I think, he's missing Fridays.
Yes.
Jersey Mike's just can't get it done. You know, like, just has to. He's holding it down, really. I mean, that's. It is what it is. Big weekend coming up.
That motherfucker can make a Sammy, boy.
Sammy.
He can sling them meats.
Yeah. Big weekend coming up. You watch any of the Boston game last night?
No.
You did nothing? None of it?
No.
Oh, well.
I watched the Dodgers Cardinals game, but I'm not built to watch a Boston Red Sox playoff game that on the heels of them just beating us.
Yeah.
And I guess you can't really call it a series, but eliminating us from the postseason. So fuck Boston. And where's our Cuban?
Seriously, why don't we have one of these guys?
The Yankees have needed a Cuban ever since, I guess, El Duque. They had Contreras, but Contreras wasn't the type of Cuban that we're looking for. We need a hitter. I want a
Rosarito.
Yeah, I actually just want him.
That'll be nice.
You could bring your cowboy boots to Yankee Stadium.
Wasn't that like a thing for a while? Like every single person that like was good in the league were like, I can't wait for him to be a Yankee. Cause that was the MO. Like the Yankees would just come snatch up your best boy and that was it, bro. Like it's just, I don't know, man. It's, it's to the point where, yes, the Yankees are out. I'm very disappointed about it, but there's still good baseball to be played. And I think, there's something to be said about the game last night. I got a text from my brother. I completely forgot. It's not that I forget that it's on because I know the playoffs are happening, but I don't know like the time, the station, the this, the that. You know what I mean? So I got a text from my brother saying the Jets stole home. Like, you know, we're talking about like the Sandlot movie, like Benny the Jet stole home. And I was like, what the hell is he talking about? I was like, oh shit, the game's on. So like, let me go check it out. And I watched a little of it. But yeah, what a stud that guy is, man. That series will probably get away from Boston relatively fast. The Rays are a really good baseball team.
It's definitely what we expected. It's just nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's the Astros are up 1-0. They won their game. I feel, anybody but the Astros. I don't care who wins the goddamn world. I guess I'm rooting for the Chicago White Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays to make it to the ALCS. And then they could just battle it out so the Red Sox are out and then the Astros are out.
You said anybody but the Red Sox. I mean, the Astros, it's anybody but the Red Sox and the Astros.
I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely said that.
And then nobody cares about the National League.
I mean, look, the Dodgers are probably steamroll. I can't even say that. They might have a hard time. They open up their series this week against the Giants, in which, again, I said it yesterday, they've never actually played each other in the playoffs, which is weird. As long as those teams have been around, they've never met in the postseason, which is very odd to me. And I'm hoping I'm wrong because I just feel like that's just such a weird stat. But, yeah, so baseball playoffs in full swing. And, of course, got ourselves a fight coming up this weekend. It's one of those fights where it's been highly anticipated. It's been one of those fights where it's now a trilogy. It's been a, the first two fights, the first one was a draw. The second one, Fury knocked the Christ out of this guy. We're talking about Wilder and Fury, and there's a couple graphics that Gris made that's relatively funny, I think. Tyson Fury is a favorite. By -250 to win this fight. If you want to make some money, you'd probably put your money on Deontay Wilder, puncher's chance kind of guy. Are you leaning anywhere in this? Like, are you like you're in a?
I'm not leaning.
We talked about it on the Chop Heads MMA.
It's not a lean. It's Tyson Fury. I think is going to dominate the fight. We're not going to get into any of the predictions just yet because we did that. Well, we'll do that at the end. But yeah, I don't think that Deontay Wilder really even knows what he's getting himself into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's much he could do from a boxing standpoint to change anything. Like you said, he has a puncher's chance, but the things that this guy is saying is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, there's a lot of claims going on here.
I don't know if it's to sell the fight, but he's not doing anything to sell the fight besides making these absurd claims. And in essence, it's making him look like an idiot. Early on, they had press conferences because if you remember, this fight was scheduled for July, I believe.
Yeah, and then he got postponed.
Tyson Fury caught the COVID. they postponed it, but they did do some pressers earlier because they were getting the stuff out of the way for the July fight. And basically, Tyson Fury carried the whole press conference. Deontay Wilder didn't say three words. He sat there with his headphones on. That's no way to sell a fight. And to me, what he's doing is he just doesn't want to face the media about these crazy, outlandish claims that he was making about Tyson Fury potentially drugging his water. He had doctored his gloves.
Man, come on.
And now there's a new one that was said yesterday. This is the first time that this one was brought to the public's, I guess, attention, where Tyson Fury paid somebody to tamper with the delivery, and Deontay Wilder got the wrong gloves, so he didn't get to fight with his gold gloves, and if he doesn't fight with his gold gloves, there's an issue, and that's why he lost, because he didn't have his gloves.
There's a lot, like, is there any merit, man.
Is there any merit to Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder's claims? Absolutely not.
No, this guy is off his absolute rocker right now, man. Like, he's like, it's one thing to sell a fight, but it's another thing to just be completely insane. Like, he's literally losing his mind. And maybe, look, and I'm not trying to knock, like, boxers in their careers and what they do for a living. Same thing goes for MMA guys, anybody in combat sports. You start to lose your shit eventually. You know, we've seen the movie Concussion. You know what I mean? Like, there is a lot of things going on in Deontay Wilder's head right now, and there's a lot. Listen, he's got a massive fan base, right? And people do, they sit there and they wait for every single moment that this guy talks. Remember, because for a while, a lot of the stuff he was saying was really cool and captivating.
Going into the second fight, because after the first fight, he did do well. He had success in the first fight against Fury.
It was a draw for a reason.
Shit out of him. Fury won more rounds, but when the most damage was done by Wilder, he dropped him late. Fury was out, essentially. He stood up at 9. You know, that fight was close to being over. But going into the second fight, he still had that shine because of what he did in the first fight. Now, coming out of it, he looked really bad, and it looked like Tyson Fury made a lot of advancements in his game, and Deontay Wilder just sat there on his laurels and expected the fight to go very similar and that his punching power would take him through. Now, as far as the claims that he's making, Deontay Wilder had guys in the room when Tyson Fury was getting his gloves wrapped. So why are those same guys there now? That the same guy was standing behind him. So if that guy was in on you getting cheated, then he should be gone, right?
Absolutely.
As far as the steroid claims and the drugging and all that stuff, there was no other measures taken by the Wilder camp to prevent that from happening again. And that was what Fury was saying. He was like, bro, he was like, if those all were true, he was like, how come there was no more restrictions put on me going into this fight by your team? Like, why did you just sign the deal and there's nothing new that I have to do? I don't have more testing. No, nothing. He's like, so you dropped the ball. That means that you don't even actually think that. You're just saying that.
You couldn't even back up your own lies. That's basically what it was. And you're right. If he was so confident and strong and passionate about his theories and whatever else, you would think that he would have done it, like, doubled down on him going into this third fight. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a weird dynamic. You know, Fury, I think Fury is all up in this kid's head. You know what I mean? Like, this kid is just completely, completely lost in this fight game where, you know, you promote this fight. And I don't know, man. I just don't see it going Wilder's way at all this time around. Like, not even close. Like, it's weird. Like, if you want to break down, like, what you think might actually happen,
the odds are starting to tighten up a little bit,
which is weird. Because I think the money is just coming in.
Fury opened up, I think, -350. So the money is definitely coming in on Wilder. He does have a puncher's chance.
Absolutely.
He did have some success. And in the heavyweight division, one punch could change everything. So there is a chance that Wilder does win the fight, but I just don't see it happening. I think what it does, though, right now, it's putting heavyweight boxing, I wouldn't say it's putting it back on the map, because it's kind of been back on the map, and it's largely due to
this. It's got like a round robin of decent. It's largely due to this,
but it sets up a really interesting fight, because Alexander Usyk just knocked out, or not knocked out, but beat Anthony Joshua, and he holds three belts in the heavyweight division. I know this is going to confuse you a little bit.
I don't like the whole multiple belts thing. I actually have it here.
Right now, Wilder and Fury are fighting for the ring and the WBC heavyweight titles. Alexander Usyk owns the IBF, WBA, and WBO heavyweight titles. So it sets up a nice money fight, even though it's not really
going to grab
the attention of the American fans, but the Europeans will eat this one up if Fury against Usyk to unify the heavyweight titles. It hasn't been done since, I think,
Rocky and Apollo.
Well, that's funny. But Klitschko had it done for like 10 years. But
but look,
heavyweight boxing is back.
Yeah, no, this will draw big numbers. There will, you know, for people who don't illegally stream it, the pay-per-view buys are going to be good. The bars will be filled. You know what I mean? People are going to want to watch this fight. I just don't know if it's going to be much of a fight to watch. You know, if I had to make a prediction, which I will right now, I think Fury like murders this guy. You know, not literally, but like, you know, not like Drago killed Apollo.
It's
but
funny
I'm saying,
you
like,
say that because with all the stuff that we talked about on this past episode of the Chop Heads podcast with the guy that fought in bare knuckle that just passed away, you got Deontay Wilder out there saying crazy things like that. He's actually, I'm trying to kill you in the ring.
Yeah.
And I understand going into the fight, and I've been the one to say, look, it's a fight. Whatever you say before a fight, really, it's all bets are off. You're going to talk your shit. It's combat sports. You're going to get that. But just on the week of somebody having passed from combat sports, it's just really dark to hear.
I just don't even. He probably doesn't have a clue. He probably doesn't even know what happened. But anyway, I got Fury to win this fight with referee stoppage. And I said this on Chop Heads MMA. Referee stoppage fourth round. Like, to the point where Fury's just going to just unload in the corner, in which the ref is going to be like, yo, fight back, bro. Fight back or this one's over. And it's just going to be the waved off. Four rounds. I got the first round, touchy-feely, you know, feel each other out, distance each other. Second round, I'm sure, you know what? Even second round, I can even predict that Wilder might land a couple where people are like, oh, okay, you know. And then just Fury just gets so pissed off. And he channels all that rage and he just beats the brakes off this guy. That's where I'm at. And I could be wrong. We were the same people that said that, you know, Jake Paul would get fucking knocked out by our boy
Ben Askren. You name it, either one.
Right? Yeah, either one. So
I see this one going, I see Fury just boxing him up. He's going to pepper him from the outside. He moves way too good for a guy that size. He's 6'9", right?
Right. He's a monster,
and he's going to be cutting down to heavyweight. So he's 6'9", and he's the heavyweight limit. Wilder's got very, very skinny legs. I think early on, if he catches him, there's his only chance. I know he did almost knock him out late in their first fight, but I just think I see Fury as a guy that, since that first fight, has done nothing but take his career serious, and I don't think Wilder has necessarily done the same thing. I don't know that, but he doesn't look like he's... And even if he did, I don't think that you could close the gap boxing skill-wise. I don't think that Fury needs to go in there and put any crazy amount of power punches together to put him away.
Right.
Just sit there, pepper him from the outside, let your skills take over, and by the 8th, 9th, 10th round, that's when you're going to see he's just not going to want to come back out. Either
the doctor stoppage
or it's just, yeah, it's going to be too much. TKO.
Okay. All right. So both of us got Fury, and if you want to make a bet on this fight, be sure to check out chopsportsmedia.com. Click on the BetMGM banner, drop some coin in there, and drop some money on this fight. We mentioned it before. The odds are getting a little slim right now, so if you want to if you're looking to just throw $10 on a puncher's chance, sure, you can make some money on Wilder, but we don't think that's going to happen. So we got some NCAA action coming up this week. A couple games that I definitely want to touch on before we go to break, and then get into the Football Friday aspect of the show. NCAA note, rivalry, Texas and Oklahoma. They're doing battle this week. So number 21, Texas, number 6, Oklahoma. My beloved, Jimmy Palumbo's beloved Rutgers Scarlet Knights, coming off two bad losses. Not so much Michigan. I want to say the bad loss came in Ohio State, where they just, you know,
this
just had their way.
This game is tricky to me. I don't understand
they're playing
Michigan
the
State team that's been putting it on teams 5-0 at home. Rutgers is at home, and they're only getting 5.
I think it might be a little tighter than people think, but this is the number 11 team in the country, and it's Rutgers taking on Michigan State. At Rutgers, so the home field advantage is there. I can't break down the game like as if I know the team up and down, but I will say the Rutgers defense was in for a culture shock last week after playing very well, I think, against Michigan. So will they answer the call this week? That remains to be seen. We got a lot of guys over there that we're supporting. Obviously, all of our CHOP athletes, you know, Tverdov and Motore and Cedrice Palant, and just that basically the entire defensive line, you know, which we call Aaron Lewis. Those guys are going to be hungry. I think they get back after it, and I think that, you know, they make it a game. You know what I mean? They make this a game. There's a reason why that line is so low. You know, I think the Rutgers team as a whole will play a little better than last week. And your boys, the Penn State Nittany Lions, number 4 in the country, taking on number 3 Iowa. So you're talking about a game. Look at the Big Ten representation, by the way.
Big Ten is loaded this year.
Wow.
And even if Iowa wasn't ranked and Penn State was ranked second, I would still be nervous about this game because Iowa always plays Penn State well. And Iowa is a NFL – what are we looking for? What's the word? They're like a – they grow NFL prospects.
Yeah, it's a breeding house. Yeah, it's like something like that. Yeah, a mill.
A mill.
There you go, the mill.
My kidney stones are affecting my ability to think on the fly.
I feel terrible for you. Everybody I talk to, like, is he going to die? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe.
No, it's not a near fatal issue.
Well, that's
it's
good.
Nothing like that. It's just discomfort and just dealing with it.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're a strong fella. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Rams last night playing the Seahawks, and then we'll get right into our NFL picks for Week 5. Gooch is on a surge right now. We'll get into that when we come back. First, a word from our sponsors. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day, that's right, 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com. All right, thank you to flippingmadeeasy.com. Those guys, Flipping Made Easy, are exactly who they say they are. They make all the flipping houses process easy. If you want to educate yourself, do that too, because I'm telling you right now, you can make a lot of money flipping houses. So we are coming to you live today on a Feel Good Football Friday from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Mattawan, New Jersey. But first, we'll get into what we watched last night, and that was the Los Angeles Rams taking down the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle, which, again, I tried to just kind of fade you guys, and I tried to say, you know what, it's going to be Russ. Don't worry about it. 12th man, we're going to do this. And you know what? Here's a testament to the toughness of some of these quarterbacks out there, okay? Two quarterbacks went to battle last night, Russell Wilson and Matt Stafford. Both of them broke their fingers. One of them was gross, and it was on, and you saw it on the camera. Like the guy's Wilson's finger was completely sideways, or whatever.
He was trying to close.
He was trying. It wasn't happening. He was broke, right? So all of a sudden, and I realized, and I didn't know this because I didn't see the first half of the game because I was playing softball, in which the Chop Sports split last night. So we're now 4-2 on the season. But I will say that I saw Stafford with a big wrap on his throwing hand. So now both guys have issues, right? So now they're going to struggle. Russell Wilson exits the game. Matt Stafford stays in. So that right away, to me, paints a better picture of Matt Stafford. You're the tougher dude. And I don't know if it's maybe doctor's thing. What?
No, I think that there's a very, very...
Is it the severity of the break?
Severity of the injury. One, you just said it. One, you didn't even see anything. You just saw that he had a little bit of a bruise.
But, I mean, they asked him in the post game, and he was just like, yeah, you know, they had to wrap it. And, like, he was talking about it, like, as if it was a decent injury.
But it wasn't dangling.
No, it wasn't
like
dangling.
Like Russ Wilson's finger was dangling. Right. And when you're throwing a football, and I know they mentioned this on the broadcast, before Russell Wilson got hurt, they were talking about Matt Stafford, and they actually made a comment where, lucky it's not his middle finger, because that's the last finger that touches the ball when you throw it. That's where you get your spin. So
yeah, okay.
The pointer finger, just it's a little bit easier to play with a pointer finger injury than it is a middle finger injury if you're a quarterback. Simple and plain, specifically the tip of your finger.
Do you know that Troy Aikman, because of his banana fingers, have you ever seen how he gripped the football? His pointer finger would be on the top of the football.
Yeah, same thing with Terry Bradshaw.
Weird. And
Terry Bradshaw sucks.
I've tried to throw it like that, and I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But maybe because my hands aren't as big as Andre the Giant's over there. So, so overall this game comes and goes. Carson ruled out right before game time, so here I am on the bench of the softball on my phone, like making sure I make the necessary adjustments. He goes out because why? Because of these stupid Thursday night football games. Because if this game was played on Sunday, Carson probably would have played. But now because it's a two game,
I think that they might be dealing with this Carson thing for a little bit.
Don't say that. I mean, listen, I picked up.
It's a lingering thing because he had a neck issue going into week one. And he's played through it, and they didn't have an injury designation because he's just been kind of keeping it on the hush. But if it's been lingering since week one and now it's week four, week five, and it's starting to re-linger or resurface, there's probably a deeper issue.
A little
issue
wear there. And tear?
Yeah.
Okay. But overall, Collins fills in. There's actually a host of running backs that filled in last night between Homer, DJ Dallas. You know, none of those guys are Chris Carson. Chris Carson being out of that game was a big deal for the Seahawks. And Russell Wilson being out of the game was a big deal.
I thought Alex Collins was serviceable. He did well.
He was. I think he had about 43 yards rushing, and I think he had about 25 yards receiving. So, like, 60 yards over all-purpose. For being one of three backs.
They didn't use him as much as I would like them to use the run, but no. I kind of anticipated that, even though I did start Alex Collins in three.
Another thing you anticipated was a nice little break ski out ski game out of Robert Woods. And my brother texted me today, like, ooh, Gooch was on the money with that one. You said that he was going to have this kind of game where it was just going to be one of those big, big games, and he did. Over 100 yards receiving. The guy was all over the place. I think this has a little bit to do with the fact that they were covering Cooper Kupp really good, even though Kupp got open a couple ridiculous catches.
Cooper Kupp's catch was amazing. I'm not going to make the same joke I made about Cooper Kupp's catch
off the air.
I'm not going to make that joke on the air, but what a catch by Cooper Kupp. Let's just say he's very aware.
Awareness, Madden.
His awareness 100. Is on 99.
Yeah, no, yeah. definitely. But anyway, another new sighting that we saw last night because of the Russell Wilson injury was Geno Smith. We saw Geno Smith kind of do some work, and that first drive, he was cooking. He started, and it's crazy because it's like, hey, by the way, Geno, you're in, and oh, yeah, by the way, one extra caveat, you got to go start on your own inch line, you know, and drive the team down the field to relevancy, and he did it. He did it. He did perfect, you know. He did it absolutely perfect on that first drive, back shoulder fade throw to DK Metcalf, which I know my dad probably was like, yeah, you know, like just, you know, he's got Metcalf. But in regards to when like Geno Smith comes in, you think your receivers are going to take a hit.
Geno balled out. He communicated with the team at the line of scrimmage. He was, you know, he was a field general yesterday. He was on the money with his throws, his legs. He was running. He was scrambling out of the pocket. Geno Smith was in complete command. They did not miss a beat. If anything, I feel like they actually took the Rams by surprise because they probably were peeling their ears back and thinking, oh, Geno's in now. This game is over. And he came and shut them right up and actually put Seattle in a position to win that game late.
There was something said by Troy Aikman on the broadcast last night, and I think that they're, you know, last year's Ram defense would have never let Geno Smith come in and go 99 yards down the field. I don't know if it was probably like 95 yards, but whatever the case, they would have never let that happen. There's something different about this Rams defense where they're not as good as they were last year. They're just not. I don't know if it's a 1 year older thing or if it's just losing key players here and there due to whatever the case. But like the Rams defense, as much as we're touting them and they are 4-1 and they are rolling right now, but their defense is a little susceptible. They are. They're not as like, oh, it's the Rams defense. You know what I mean? When you think about it, there was a guy on my team last night, Pat, right? We were talking to him and he goes, man, that Rams defense is actually really good against the run. And I'm like, they're not. And you people think that. The casual fan thinks that because Aaron Donald's in the middle. But overall, the Rams defense
Shout out to casual Pat.
I mean,
just call him a casual fan on air.
Hopefully I'll call him a casual fan because he's actually an Eagles fan. So I'm just like, you know, so he, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
And yeah, Terry Bradshaw did suck. You did hear that.
Jimmy Palumbo chiming in here. Did he hear that? Terry Bradshaw, not to segue too much off of this, but Jay Devlin put a post up on Chop Sports, I think it was yesterday, where it was like comparing Favre, Brady, Manning, and Breeze, right? For whatever reason. Might have been a yardage thing. I don't know. But he goes, in any event, all four of these guys are top 10 quarterbacks ever to play. And I said, I agree with three of them. It was Brady, Manning, Brett Favre. I don't agree with Drew Brees. I think he's like 9, 10, 11, maybe 10, 11 on the way outs. But Terry Bradshaw, in my head, he's not even close in that competition.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is the best of all time. Brady's second.
Best
that's
of
what
all
you have to do. Like, you have to count whoever's like the top 10
players. Oh, no, I put Mahomes
now
in there. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just saying, whoever's the top 10 players now and add them to the list because I guess this is kind of going against what I just said that Terry Bradshaw sucks, but Terry Bradshaw did suck if you look at the numbers. But a lot of times what we're doing, we're putting Drew Brees above guys like a John Elway or a Dan Marino because he's played now. Playing in an era where I think yards are a little inflated.
Well,
I don't think. I know.
That's exactly what I said to Devlin. I said, if statistically, yeah, you can't mess with Drew Brees. He just got passed last week. You know what I mean? As the all-time passing leader. But like pound for pound, quarterback for quarter, like skill set, I don't know, man. Drew Brees was really good, really good. He's going to walk into Canton. I'm not saying he's not. But I don't know. It's just a side conversation. But anyway, last night, game, set, match, Rams get the win. They go to 4-1. Now, once again, the Seattle Seahawks are under 500. We'll see how they rebound next week. These standings that are coming up in front of you are pre-last night. And if you saw or watched or heard the show yesterday, I'm the only one who took the Seattle Seahawks. Plus 2.5. They clearly didn't do anything close to that. So these standings, as you're reading them right now, are from week 4, and overalls do not reflect from last night. So we'll update that as we go. But last week, Gooch, if you were in one of those office pools, you probably would have won. Yeah. 11 wins usually gets the job done, and I think you would have won a couple bucks. You know, at the very least, you're on a surge right now. You have a 3-game lead on me and AJ.
Why don't we start doing that? Since I beat you guys 2 weeks in a row, we should start.
Just dropping $5 in a bucket?
Throw $10 in a bucket, right? And then I win $30 a week or $20 a week.
All right.
I don't see you guys taking me out anytime soon.
I mean, we'll see about that because we have games to pick right now as we get into week 5. We'll start with the game in jolly old London. It is the New York Football Jets going across the pond to take on the Atlanta Falcons. We just found out yesterday that Calvin Ridley is not making the trip due to personal reasons. I don't know what the hell that means. Either I hope he's having a kid or something like that, because why else? Or unfortunately, maybe there's something going on with some family members. But like, if he's in trouble, nobody knows about it yet. And that could be a thing. And I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going
to
say that he's in
trouble. If I'm to speculate, which I'm about to, mm-hmm. and I'm not actually going to speculate, but I'm going to say if I were to speculate, I would speculate towards the whole COVID situation. That's my guess, is that maybe there's a situation where he just doesn't feel comfortable traveling out of the country.
You think that's a thing?
Maybe.
Oh,
I don't
boy.
Know. I would say it's more of a thing than him potentially being arrested or in trouble.
Very true. Very true. All right. So the Jets are obviously coming off their first win of the year. They take out the Titans, who are also down all their receivers. So now all of a sudden they're playing another team that are down their main receiver. But the Jets are coming off a win. The Falcons, however, also coming off, well, no, they lost, right? Again, no, they won. They lost to the Washington football team. I'm sorry. But they're going in a little hobbled right now. AJ has made his picks. He's used BetMGM spreads. He's got them. This one has the line at Falcons -3. So there's no technical home team right now. It's in London. He's got the New York Jets. He thinks the Jets are going to win 2 in a row. Gooch, what say you? You got to stay hot. Where are you going with this one?
I like the Jets getting 3. The Falcons are not only without Calvin Ridley, but they're also without Justin Gage. Matt Ryan is not playing well. Zach Wilson has a little bit of momentum, and it isn't a home game for Atlanta, even though it should be, because
I hate that. I hate that a team has to lose a home game.
They got to go to London and lose one of their home games, so the Jets kind of are a beneficiary of that. 2 weeks in a row, the Jets don't really have to cover anybody, so good on them for that. And I just like the Jets getting the 3 points. Even if Atlanta wins, it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way too. I'm going to take the Jets here plus the 3 in London. There's too many injuries going on. I still think to this day that the Atlanta Falcons are one of the worst teams in this league right now. I mean, it's like them and Detroit that are just like really, and Houston, I guess, has entered the conversation because they don't have a quarterback. But I'm looking at this team and I'm thinking that they just won't get it done. Jets are flying high. They're going to fly all the way to London. They're going to get themselves a dub. So give me the Jets there too. We're moving on to the Green Bay Packers visiting the red, piping hot Cincinnati Bengals.
Cool down on the piping hot.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say, all right, well, I tell you what, home dogs always, for me, I just think that this is like, I don't know, man. I'll get to my pick in a second, but I will start with AJ's pick. He's got the Packers -3. He thinks they're going to go on the road and get the job done. I'll give it to you. I know where you're going with it, but tell me why.
This game actually does scare me. I'm not completely confident, but obviously I'm picking the Packers because you'll never see me not,
right?
Which is just the way it's going to be. But I will be arbitrary about it. I think that the Packers are going to have a hard time stopping T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Jamar Chase. The Bengals receivers are really good. The Packers are really banged up in their secondary. Jair's out. Kevin King might play, but even if he does play, are we really sure we want Kevin King to play? Obviously, we do because he's better than what we have, but that guy's been a liability, especially when he's having to step up and cover somebody that's actually formidable.
Right.
And the Bengals have three formidable receivers. You're saying the Bengals are hot. I'm saying that they're not so hot. They almost lost to the Jaguars. I had them in my Survivor, and I was fucking sweating that out all the way until the final seconds ticked off. So the Bengals, they're 3-1, a little bit of Wolf tickets. They beat Pittsburgh on the road. We kind of are seeing that Pittsburgh might not be as good as advertised. And they lost to the Bears. The Bengals did just lose to the Bears, so it's not like they're just out here beating up on teams. 3-1, they're in a nice spot right now. Joe Burrow's got a little bit of confidence, but I still can't see the Packers losing this game, so I'm going with Green Bay.
All right. Well, I am. Listen, I'm down three games. You got to make them up somewhere. This is where I look for the mood on Monday. I root for the Packers to win because I want Gooch to come in here flying high and feeling good.
Don't ever pick and pander to me because I will just call
you soft. Oh, I'm not because I'm taking the Bengals. I'm taking the Bengals here. They're playing well. They have a good offense, and the Packers defense is losing Jair, and they have the ability already with Jair in the lineup have shown me that they can't cover a lot of people, okay? I know they're winning games, and they haven't lost the game.
One of those I'm going to call you casual now because they have covered people.
No, I don't think their defense is very good.
Their secondary has been solid.
Nah, I mean, you say solid. I say they're not the Dallas Cowboys. How about that? So anyway, I will take the Bengals only for the sole purpose of the what? Now what?
Let's look at who's ranked better against.
See, this
the
is
pass.
What happened. This is why you can't even pick against this kid.
No, no, no.
Because this is the kind of shit you got to deal with.
You misspoke. Your secondary has been playing better than you think. Trust me.
But they're susceptible.
You watched Deontay Johnson push off Jair and catch a touchdown. You saw Kevin King get burnt by one Lions player. So like, there's a couple plays, and then the Saints game. But the Saints game, they only gave up 140.
What I'm saying is, it's a possibility. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm also just said I preface this whole thing by saying I need to make up some ground. And I think there's a lot of games that we're going to be picking similar today. So why not I go? And now it's funny I say this because I know when that other game comes around with the star on the helmet that a lot of the guys are going to wait. Whoa, look at that number. Whoa, we'll talk about the number. So I'm going with the Bengals. Give me the Bengals as the home dogs in this one, +3.
I'm doing a little recon.
Do your recon. Comment. All right, so the Vikings are big, big favorites at home against the Detroit winless Lions. The line is 10 here. AJ, right off the rip, is thinking that the Lions don't stand a chance in this game. What you've seen so far out of Kirk Cousins is very hot and cold. I'm not sure about the status of Dalvin Cook. I have not looked deep into that. But the Lions are just—they're just bad.
Dallas has a 30th ranked pass defense in the league.
That can't be true. You know what? Yards wise, you're probably right.
Yeah,
yeah. In the fourth quarter alone last week, they gave up about 400 in the air because they were up by 20. Okay, so therefore,
I agree that that's not necessarily telling as to how they
not telling
they've played, but the
can
numbers
you just
don't
let
lie.
Let me take
a
home dog. Like, can you just let it happen? I'm not going to sit here like, and you know, and this is not my guy. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm not going to come in here on Monday and say like,
no, I know. I told you.
You know what I mean? Like, I root for
and
I already
have my built-in excuses anyway, so we're good.
Oh, my God. All right. So the Vikings, AJ's taking them with the big number. Is this a big enough number for you to ride with Kirk Cousins, who is 1-3? 1-3, okay? Who, again, I can't buy into them. This is not. I'll just let you make your pick because I got a theory about this one. This is a divisional game. They're always tighter. Do you think the Vikings blow the doors off the Lions?
Yeah, I think the Vikings are hungry for this game where they don't have to sweat it out. And this is they finally get Detroit at home. That's the game that everybody wants in their schedule. Even when Green Bay played Detroit, everybody was like, Detroit, they fight. But they're just simply not a good team. They might fight, but they're still 0-4, and they're only 2-2 against the spread. It's 10 points for a reason. Forget about Kirk Cousins. Just look at the other spots. Mm-hmm. Look everywhere else. They're just so completely outmatched. The Vikings, I think, are a better team than people think. I'm not sold on them completely. I just think that they're not going to be one of these teams. If they're 1-3, they're not going to be blown out by everybody. In this case, the Lions, we don't think they're going to win a game all year. I can't see them covering, so I'll go with Minnesota.
Yeah, as much I've been ragging on Minnesota as being a false sense of people thinking that they're a good team right now. Their defense is still pretty good. I think they're going to give Jared Goff some fits. There's nobody on the Lions, and that's the problem. There's nobody on the Lions that makes me believe that, like, hey, they might be in this one, or I don't think that we're going to have that conversation at all, unless we don't know the schedule down back of our hand, but unless they play a team like Jacksonville or Houston, it's hard for me to ever pick the Lions right now because they're that bad of a football team. The 10 does scare me a little bit, not going to lie, but I'm going to take the Vikings as well in this one. Give me the Vikings minus 10 at home. Moving on to my beloved Dallas Cowboys taking on the New York football Giants. The Cowboys riding high right now, winning a 3 straight. The Giants, however, also feeling themselves as they took out the Saints last week in overtime. The number is 7. It's a big number. And as far as AJ is concerned, he thinks, as I look up and down this thing, he doesn't have anybody. He missed the Giants game. So I got to text him real quick. But go ahead. Give me your pick as far as this game.
I feel like everybody in this game is going to be on the Giants. They're begging people to take the Giants because it's a big game, man. 7 points is a lot in a division matchup like this. It looks like the Giants are in a situation now where they could go in and kind of fix their season, right? They could go in there and they could make Dallas 3-2. They would actually pass Dallas in the standings if they beat Dallas outright.
Try again.
Would they not?
One more time.
Oh, no, they wouldn't. I thought the Giants were 2-2. They're not.
No.
Oh, you're right.
They won their first game last week.
Rewind that. Edit that out of the live show.
No, I'm not editing anything. All right,
so scratch what I just said. I still think Dallas is going to cover.
Yeah.
Because they're begging people. I think the public is going to be on the Giants. I could be wrong. Kyle or AJ, I'm sure one of you guys that are researching this, could tell me. I think that they're begging people to take the Giants. It's scary to lay the 7, but Dallas is a way better team than the Giants have been. Daniel Jones has been playing out of his mind. You got to imagine that he's going to eventually regress to the mean. And I'm not saying that he's a bad player, but the Daniel Jones that we've come to grow and love, come to know, grown to know and love.
Feel Good Friday.
Feel Good Friday is going to come back to he's going to resurface on Sunday and throw like 2 or 3 picks.
Okay. AJ on the immediate must have done it in between slapping cheese on a sandwich. He's got the Cowboys minus 7 as well. I, for one, have done a couple preview shows already where I got the score like 33-20 or 33-17, in which the Cowboys will definitely cover the number. The Cowboys, look, it's hard for me to. They got this third game in a row. It's a blessing on the schedule. Third game in a row at home, right? So they go on the road. They beat LA. They get home. They get right. They beat the brakes off the Eagles. They literally beat the shit out of the Panthers. And there's no, like, don't let the final score fool you. They beat up on the Panthers. They let off the gas. Trayvon Diggs was on the sidelines. Don't ask me why. But in this game in particular, I think that they're going to find that they're going to have a lot of success, not only on the ground because of the complimentary backs, but the Giants haven't been able to cover a tight end since I've been born. So like that, like it's been a long time, and they have 2 good tight ends, and I think they're the big factors in this game. Give me the Cowboys to win this one and cover the number and get to 4-1 and keep reigning supreme in the NFC East. Moving on. The Denver Broncos, the 3-1 Denver Broncos go on the road to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this is an interesting one because a lot of people looked at the Broncos as, a false 3-0 team. A lot of people didn't buy into what they were doing. But now you have a team that's kind of reeling in the Pittsburgh Steelers, 1-3. Keep in mind, they've never, under Mike Tomlin, have ever, ever, ever finished under 500. Is this the get-right game for Big Ben and that offense against the Denver Broncos defense? And I'm looking at AJ right now. He's got the Broncos on the road, plus the 1. He's got the Broncos in this one. What do you got, Gooch?
The Steelers season is hanging in the balance right here. It's only week 5, but it's a must win. Pittsburgh's at home. TJ Watt is starting to get a little bit more healthy. Their defense hasn't been playing well at all. Their secondary isn't terrible. Bridgewater should be coming back, right? I think he did clear the concussion protocol, so he should be playing in this one. I just think it's too much of a desperation game for Pittsburgh for them to lose this one. It's essentially a pick 'em. Denver has been playing really good, but last week they kind of showed who they were. I know Bridgewater left the game. I got to go Pittsburgh just on the sheer fact that it's a pick 'em. They're at home, and everybody's really low on Pittsburgh right now and fairly high on Denver. I go Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I think the Steelers, this is the get-right game, and I'm not saying they're going to be a contender all year round, but I cannot for the life of me see the Pittsburgh Steelers dropping to 1-4 under Mike Tomlin. I just can't see it. I know Big Ben is reeling right now. He can't seem to get out of his own way. If his first read and second read isn't there, he's getting sacked, you know, and I'm sure Vic Fangio and that Denver defense knows this, and they know that he's not going to be able to read down the field too much unless he just kind of throws up a hope and a prayer. But in that regard, I like Najee Harris to finally have one of those games.
I'm just waiting for the Pittsburgh defense to win them a game.
I think this is it.
Is the one that they could do it.
I agree. I think this is the one they could definitely get it done. Give me the Steelers -1. Moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3-1 at home, taking on the Miami Dolphins. The spread is large here, and they're taking on the Miami Dolphins, who are 1-3. Right away, it looks like AJ's riding that high number, and he's going to take the Bucs -10. Gooch, do you think that Tom Brady comes out and does his job against the Miami Dolphins?
Yes.
To cover this number?
Yes.
Okay.
We don't have to break down this game because Tampa Bay is 10 times better team than Miami. I'm surprised the spread is only 10, honestly. I thought it would be like 14 in this
one. All right. I was going to say, historically, Brady has struggled against former Patriot employees. Okay? He's struggled against Patricia. He's struggled against Flores. If anything at all, this might be the game, and it might be a little closer. So you're going to take the number, right? You're going to take Tampa Bay? All right. Look, I might be stupid for doing this, but I'm going to ride the Dolphins with the number. I think that Jacoby Brissett has played okay football. He's not good. He's not great, you know, but like he's getting by. I still like the Dolphins defense to give Brady some fits. And the only reason why I'm taking the Dolphins here is because I think they can keep it like maybe lose by 8-9. You know what I mean? They'll still lose by a touchdown, but keep it close. It's probably going to bite me.
Tampa could end up scoring 40 in this one.
Absolutely could. Ugly. Absolutely could. But I got to make up some ground, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it at Tom Brady's expense. So we'll take it next over here with the Washington football team getting back. Did I get the right one? Yep. Washington football team getting back home, 2-2, taking on the 2-2 New Orleans Saints. This one's going to be difficult to pick, in my opinion. I'm looking at AJ right now.
It's like the same team playing each other.
Yeah, it's like the Spider-Man meme, you know, just like pointing at each other. You, me. The Saints, AJ's riding with the Saints. He thinks his boy, I know he's got a man crush on Jameis Winston. Maybe he thinks he gets it right. The Saints have been very Jekyll Hyde, man. They beat the brakes off the Packers. They, you know, they won a couple games, but then they lost a couple games really shitty. They lost to the Giants. So is this a Sean Payton driven, like, do not even dare to look like shit again? This one in the nation's capital. Where do you got this one, Gooch?
I'm going to go with the Saints because they have at least looked good in two of their wins. Whereas the football team, even when they've won games, they looked like shit. And they had the Giants, it took them offsides on a missed field goal for the football team to win that one. And
right, then
against Atlanta, who pretty much did what they wanted to Washington's defense, Atlanta scored at will. So the Saints, they've at least looked decent. You said they're Jekyll and Hyde. They've been shit. They've been good. Then they were shit. Then they were good. Then they were shit. So guess what?
Guess what?
They're about to be good. So I'll go with the Saints in this one.
And that's where I'm at, too. I think a loss to the Giants is a little bit of a kick in the ass to the Saints. If the Saints are going to compete this year for anything, whether that be the NFC South, which I don't think they will, but for that wild card and that the extra wild card that you could possibly grab at the end, that may be like a 9-8 or 10-7 record, these are the games you got to win, and it's an NFC game.
It's a good matchup, though. I think Washington's defense does match up well against them because the Saints are struggling to pass the ball right now. They don't have any real receiving threats. They're actually dying for Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I was going to say, when the hell is Thomas getting back?
I think week 7. He's on the pup. All right. So week 7, they should get Michael Thomas back.
But give me the Saints, though. This has got to be a get-right game for them because they have to. They have to have it. If they want to be contenders in the NFC, you can't lose back-to-back weeks to the Giants and then the Washington football team.
I'm going to fade. That's not good. I'm going to fade football team until Ron Rivera starts using Antonio Gibson properly.
I like
free
that.
Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, Ron. Free. I like that a lot. That makes a lot of sense. Moving on. The Carolina Panthers, who are coming off that loss against Dallas, taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. The line is only 3 here in Carolina. I think that's a low number, but let's see what AJ has. AJ thinks that the Panthers get right after losing to Dallas. He's going to take them -3. Gooch, We watched the Philadelphia Eagles last week. Kind of, I can't even say go blow for blow because at the end they just got the doors blown off them. They gave up 40 points back-to-back weeks. We watched Carolina kind of do some work early against the Dallas Cowboys, and then obviously in garbage time still put up some points. Where do you see this one? Can Philadelphia get right, or is this like their season is also potentially on the brink here if they can't get this NFC game?
This was one of the harder ones for me. I think with the media being all over the Stephon Gilmore thing, Carolina's being elevated a little bit in the public.
Is he going to play?
No, he can't play until week 7. He's on the pup. So,
got it.
So he's right now, like all that elevated hype coming behind Carolina, it's not. It's just not there yet. Like the players aren't on the team yet. So they're actually dealing with issues in their secondary, and you saw it last week against Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't really have a good time. So I know Philly isn't the same, bringing the same weapons to the table that Dallas brought, but we talked about it yesterday, Jalen Hurts. Like, I don't see where it's coming from because I've watched a decent amount of Philly games this year. But for whatever reason, efficiency-wise, Jalen Hurts is at the tops of the league. Like, he's throwing the ball good. He hasn't made the greatest decisions, but when he does throw the ball, it's on the money.
It's a high percentage
Jalen Hurts,
throw.
I think it's taken a little bit of time for this coach to get his offense going. It looked good week one, but obviously that was Atlanta, and then it's been stalled out since then. But for whatever reason, against the Chiefs, it kind of started to get going a little bit, and then the Kansas City offense was just too much for Philly. I think Philly is going to shock everybody and potentially win this game outright on the road. They're still dealing with Sam Darnold, and I know Sam Darnold has been balling out, but 5 touchdown runs,
I feel
like that's more of an anomaly than it is the norm,
right,
for the Sam Darnold quarterback. He's not a runner, and Jalen Hurts is. So I'm going to go Philly, potentially winning this one outright.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers here because of what I saw out of DJ Moore last week. I think that based off of what I saw Dallas do against the Philadelphia corners, I think that DJ Moore has himself another day. I think we finally get the top blown off out of Robbie Anderson. I think the Carolina Panthers offense is in for a big day. The Philadelphia Eagles defense is not good. They've given up 40 points back-to-back weeks. They're on the road here. As much as we think that Jalen Hurts might be, you know, something special down the road, it ain't yet. He's not showing me enough. I get it. I get his high percentage throws and all that good stuff. And, you know, I expect a big week out of a guy like a Miles Sanders or potentially who's the new kid that
Gainwell.
I just picked up? Gainwell. I see the running game working, but when push comes to shove, I think the Panthers answer the call here and they get it and they get this one done. So, next, the Las Vegas Raiders get back to the Death Star to take on the brand new, officially named for the rest of the year, Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. This one's in LA, in Las Vegas. The Raiders are getting 5.5 at home. I start with AJ, and he's got, as I look, does he think Justin Fields has what it takes? He does. He's taking Justin Fields plus 5.5 here in Vegas. What say you, Gooch? Because again, we'll find out exactly what Justin Fields is made of. The defensive line has definitely come alive for the Las Vegas Raiders. So do you think he's able to cover this?
I like the Raiders in this game. I just don't think Matt Nagy is a good coach. And Justin Fields has potential, but we haven't fully seen it yet. He did look decent, but I think he only completed, what'd you say, 13 passes last week?
So yeah, it wasn't a
lot. It's not like he's out here flinging the ball all over the place. He looks decent running the football, and he's going to have to because the Raiders' front four is generating pressure without even having a blitz so far. They didn't really look good for 3 out of the quarters that they played on Monday night, but in the third quarter, they show what they're about. It's all about the play calling. If they call plays over the top, I don't think Chicago's going to be able to cover Henry Ruggs, and Darren Waller is just a problem for anybody. It'll be interesting to see Khalil Mack going in his revenge game, going back to, I guess you can't really call it Oakland, but going back to his old...
I think they've played already, but it's always probably something like a chip on your shoulder.
Did they play in...
In Vegas?
In Vegas or Oakland? I don't think so. So maybe not. But either way, Khalil Mack, they might see a little elevated energy out of him, which would be nice for once in a while because he's been playing.
He's been like a ghost. Yeah.
I haven't seen much of Khalil Mack ever since he got that big, big payday. But I'll go with the Raiders here. Derek Carr looking for a little bit of a revenge game of his own, not necessarily against the Bears, but just against the media and his coach and everybody else that doubts this guy the minute he plays like shit. They forget that he was the leading passer going into the week. So I'll go with Derek Carr and the Raiders because Chicago just doesn't offensively, they've been shit, and no David Montgomery.
I think the best coaching decision that Matt Nagy made this year overall was naming him the starter going forward. Yes, that's going to build the confidence of Justin Fields. However, it doesn't start this week. The Raiders were, you know, a hot team going into this into last week. They fell to the Chargers. The Chargers are a good football team. Derek Carr, just like you said, has an opportunity to kind of right the wrongs. He did go into last week as the leading passer. He's going to show why this week. I don't believe in the Bears defense at all. And I think this is one of those Waller games where he gets like two touchdowns or like 120 yards or something. I think they're going to have a very, very hard time dealing with Darren Waller. So give me the Raiders at home. Moving on, it's going to be a bloodbath, but it's the Patriots going on the road in Houston. The Patriots are favored by 9 going into Houston. That's Mac Jones getting a 9-point spread. Imagine that. Imagine how bad your team has to be to favor Mac Jones -9. AJ is taking the Patriots -9, and I'm assuming that's where you're going too, Gooch, unless you think that the Texans have some fight at home.
Part of me wants to take the Texans, but I won't because I'm not going to pick the Texans until they show me that they could actually do anything to any pro football team. So Patriots by default because the Texans are that bad, but it's part of me wants to just say, you know what, Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, something. Right.
Give me something, but no, Patriots. They're desperate for a win right now. They've lost a couple tough games. Miami week one last week to their boy Brady. So they're a few plays away from being very different. Right now, it could be at least 2-2, maybe even 3-1. So the Patriots, Belichick, rookie quarterbacks, you know the deal.
Yeah, I know the deal, and that's exactly why I think Belichick's going to expose this poor young man, and I think it's going to be a little bit of a blowout ski. Give me the running game all day for the Patriots today, for this Sunday. I think that their rushing attack is going to be very, very good. Give me the Patriots. This one's easy to kind of blow over because, again, you just said it. Rookie quarterback, Bill Belichick, goodbye. Very good game here. Very good game here as the Los Angeles Chargers stay home to take on the Cleveland Browns. Both teams 3-1. Both teams 3-1 against the spread. This one's difficult. The Chargers are getting 2.5 or giving 2.5 at home. Rightfully so. Usually when you're the home team, you get that 3. So maybe this is technically a pick 'em. When we start with AJ, he's going to ride with Baker Mayfield's torn labrum here. Okay, we'll talk about that as we go, but he's taking the Browns on the road +2.5. Gucci.
I kind of like the Browns in this one because I'm not a big believer in San Diego or LA Chargers run defense, and that's all Cleveland's going to do is run the ball. But ultimately, the Chargers are going to put up points, I think. I think their offensive line is decent. And Justin Herbert is that dude. Baker Mayfield's banged up. There's no real receiver to speak of on Cleveland. Did you see that Odell has now been playing with something? They said that he's been injured for the last 10 years. Said something about he's been playing with something for 10 years.
Oh, wow. What a guy.
So
what a
confusing,
stunt.
But, yeah, remember I was like, he's one play away from being
hurt.
Yeah,
well, now he's 10 years away, removed.
Yeah, he already got hurt 10 years ago in a certain play in Pop Warner or something. Managed to get drafted, all that. But Odell's weird. And the Chargers are going to score too many points for the – I think they might end up beating them up by like 10-14 in this one late in the game because Baker Mayfield is more injured than people are saying. They were trying to keep that under wraps, but they just simply can't. That happened, I think, early in the year.
No, I think it's when he laid the wood.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that happened early in the year. He's been playing with this.
I think didn't that happen last week or 2 weeks ago?
If it happened last week, it's definitely a recurring thing that he re-injured because I know Baker fucked up his left shoulder either making a block or trying to make a tackle.
It was making a block on it. Yeah, I remember. And so that is a big, big so you're taking the Chargers minus the 2.5? Yeah. I'm going to stay with the Chargers minus 2.5 as well simply because, yes, Baker is banged up. And while I think that they have a great running game, and I really, really do think that the Cleveland Browns running game is probably the best 1-2 punch in the league, and that's hard for me to say considering how much I love Zeke and Pollard right now, but these guys are very effective. They're very elite. They will get their yardage, and they will get chunk plays, but I think ultimately Justin Herbert, you know, he put the world on notice again last week by beating the Raiders on Monday night in front of the entire world, and I think he gets it done again today or Sunday. So moving on. This one's should be a quick one. It is we talked a lot about the Urban Meyer stuff going on in the Jacksonville, and that's unfortunate because when your team is 0-4, you try to start to look for stories of like a little hope here and there, like, hey, but how's Trevor Lawrence doing? Or hey, you know, how are those young receivers doing? The whole thing has been freaking Urban Meyer. I think honestly, this is the game that we're like, I can't believe that Derrick Henry ran for that many yards. That's what I really think is going to happen. We'll start with AJ. He's got the Titans minus the four. He's got them on this thing minus four, but we're going to have to give it to him minus 4.5 because we took these lines yesterday, but I'm sure he'll have no problem with that. So what do you got?
This spread really does scare me.
It does.
Yeah, only 4.5. The public is all in on the Titans. Nobody's betting the Jaguars, specifically after the Urban Meyer situation. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to go on record and say that it's really hard for me to not take Jacksonville in this game. I don't know why the spread is only 4.5. I guess because they're home, but what the fuck does that even mean? The Jaguars haven't won anything.
Well, think about that. If they weren't home and this game was reversed, the spread would probably be around 7 or 8.
Yeah, I understand, but it's still, you know, okay. The Jaguars are the Jaguars, and the Titans are getting some guys back. You expected them to be a little bit better. Going into last week, they actually were kind of getting it going offensively, and then they just lost players. Mm-hmm. So Derrick Henry will run the shit out of the football. A.J. Brown and Julio will be back, so they get their full arsenal back, and I think that's what everybody's kind of looking at. Like, right, me too. It's like they're getting everybody back, and they're only giving 4.5. Do I do it?
I don't know, man. It's up to you.
Do I do it? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick with the Titans, but reluctantly.
Okay. Titans minus 4.5. I am also going with the Tennessee Titans. I think this is going to be like a 20-point win, and Urban Meyer will be fired on Monday morning. That's my bold prediction. I think that because this team is so shitty and so in disarray and such a distraction because this guy can't just be normal, you know, I think the Titans run them out of town, out of their own stadium, okay? I think the Titans run the Jaguars out of Jacksonville in this one. Give me the Titans all day. All right. This was definitely probably one of the more harder games to pick because of the spread. We're not really sure as to why it's so low. The Cardinals are home. They're 4-0, and they're playing a rookie quarterback in Trey Lance. It's weird, but yeah. AJ's starting it off. He's got him. He's got him at 4.5, but I'm going to put minus 5 for the Cardinals for AJ. He's taking the Cardinals. So where do you got this game?
This one's tough. Trey Lance starting, if he does actually, in fact, start, I think that they're waiting to see if Jimmy G could practice today, which is almost a foregone conclusion that he will not practice. Uh-huh. If he does not practice, Trey Lance does, in fact, get the start, and he'll actually make it where all 5 rookie quarterbacks in the draft in the first round will be starting week 5.
So crazy.
By week 5, they got all 5 in there.
All 5 in the, we didn't 5 and
that,
5.
I didn't think that would happen as fast this year. For whatever reason, the NFL...
Was anybody actually benched? No, right? Benched. Like, Dalton got hurt. Jimmy got hurt. Trevor Lawrence was the name starter going in.
Zach Wilson was the
starter going in.
Who's the other guy we're missing?
Why can't I think about it? Oh, Mac Jones. He was
the starter going in. Yeah.
So nobody actually got hurt. Nobody got benched as far as the starter is concerned. So where are you going with this game? I mean, look, Cardinals flying high right now. Divisional game. Where are you leaning?
It's another one. I think the point spread's a little too low for me, but I'm still going to go with the Cardinals because they're just really good, and I'm not believing in San Fran right now. Their real issues on their secondary, and the Cardinals are going to be able to expose that. And San Fran's best weapon so far in Shanahan's tenure has been their running game, and that's right now it's just not there. Right now they don't have a guy. Until one of these dudes steps up or Shanahan gives the keys to one of them and says, go, I can't buy into their running game, which is crazy that we're talking about how Trey Lance is probably going to be the thing that changes that. They're going to run the ball a lot with Trey Lance, so maybe they could keep it a little bit close, but I see the Cardinals running away with this one. I don't believe in San Fran at all right now.
I don't necessarily see the Cardinals running away with it. I do think they're going to cover this number, though. I think they do get the job done. Trey Lance, look, we're all excited to see some new blood, whether or not it's a Wally Pipp situation where all of a sudden, you know, he plays well enough to say, Jimmy G, sorry, thanks for coming, and he's traded at the deadline or some crap like that. Nobody knows. But the San Francisco 49ers haven't really done anything to really impress me so far. They've blown the game against the Packers. They barely got past Philly. You know, so there's a lot of question marks about
this. And the 49ers have been trying to trade Jimmy G for 2 years, and they can't. So I don't think that's going to happen either.
Well, I'm sure somebody might be desperate for a quarterback at the deadline. Who knows? But I will take the Cardinals until Kyler Murray has a stinker. I don't think he's going to start now. So I think the Cardinals are going to take this one, probably by a touchdown. But, yeah, they'll cover that number. It's too low. Wrapping up the week, probably the game of the week, is the Kansas City Chiefs getting back at Arrowhead on Sunday Night Football. Minus 2.5. They're favored here against the 3-1 Buffalo Bills. Now, the Chiefs put it on the Philadelphia Eagles last week. They really did. But when you're looking at this team as a whole, their defense has a lot of issues. And that's why this spread, I believe, is so small. I'm very surprised it might not be a pick 'em. You know what I mean? Like, this game is very tight. We start with AJ, who's got the Chiefs at home to stay right and cover that number. He's got the Chiefs minus 2.5. Gooch, what say you? The Buffalo Bills, you know, they're one of the premier teams in AFC right now.
I like Buffalo in this one. The Chiefs can't stop anybody. It doesn't matter where they've been playing. They haven't really been that tough to beat at home this year. I think they lost, or they won against Cleveland at home, but they almost lost that game. They haven't been playing well, period. So they're a couple plays away. They did beat up on the Eagles in the second half last week, but the Eagles did well. There was flashes in that game where you could think, like, okay, Philly's in this. And then it was just too much late. I don't think they're going to have the same situation with Buffalo. Buffalo's offense is clicking right now. They got two running backs that are playing well. Emmanuel Sanders is playing well. They're just deep. Josh Allen is their pass rush. Everything that Buffalo is doing, they're going to go in there and prove to Kansas City that they're the now the class of the AFC. So I'll go with Buffalo.
He's going Buffalo plus the 2.5 on the road. When I look at this game, it's so weird for me because I remember, if you remember in our last episode before the season started, I said the Chiefs are going to run this table. They're going to go 17-0, and then they're also going to go through the playoffs and pretty much win the entire thing. Little did I know that their defense was going to be this bad. I don't think the defense is even middle of the pack. I think they're actually behind the middle of the pack. Okay, and now you just dealt with Philadelphia, who I think isn't that great. They've shown flashes, great, but it's not the team that they're about to face in the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills have been picked and touted and talked about to be the team in the AFC this year for a long time. I know a lot of guys that picked the Bills to finally end the curse and win the Super Bowl this year. They are playing like a Super Bowl team. Give me Josh Allen on the road in a very hostile environment. It'll be a great game, and I hope I'm able to enjoy it. And when I say that, I hope that the Cowboys win, because usually when the Cowboys lose, I have a hard time enjoying anything after that. So if the Cowboys win, I'll enjoy the shit out of this game because it's going to be good, just like I was able to enjoy the Patriots and Bucks last week. Sunday Night Football has been delivering, man. I tell you right now, they have been delivering with some premier matchups. But yeah, I mean, that's the slate for Sunday. A lot of great games. We do have a lot of differential here, so there's going to be some ground either lost or made up. We'll find out. But, yeah, I mean, you got anything else, man, before this big, big weekend? We got NFL, college, Wilder, everything going on. What do you have going on this weekend? Anything good?
What do I have? I'm just going to watch sports.
Yeah, that's it. All right, watching sports.
Probably and recover because I'm dealing with the kidney stone situation. So, no, I don't have anything good happening, Dave. I'm just going to sit there and suffer. Maybe I'll do some laundry.
Hey, you know, all right. That's what my life. I got a new washer and dryer delivered yesterday. That's money I didn't want to spend.
When was the last time you did a load of laundry?
I do laundry all the time.
Oh, good for you.
I'm a laundry guy. Laundry's very, very relaxing to me.
I wait until the end of the month and I have absolutely nothing left to wear. I'm like, wow, I don't even have a clean sock. Right? And then I do the whole entire load of laundry and it takes me 11 hours.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I started liking laundry after the movie The Scout. Do you ever see that movie? With Brendan Fraser, he's a pitcher for the Yankees.
Yes.
All right, so he's like big into laundry. He's like, you like that laundry? And he's like, yeah, I really do. And I'm like, ever since then, I'm just like, I can sit there and do things.
I don't mind doing the laundry and washing the clothes. I hate folding it. And putting
folding
it away.
Sucks.
So
folding
like, I just end up with a pile of wrinkled clothes.
And I always get shit.
And I always have to redo the laundry or go put it in the dryer to do the wrinkles because I'm not ironing shit either. So
you're just you must be phenomenal to live with. Shout out to Jorge. I deal with that shit for a little while.
I was more clean than anybody in that apartment.
All right. Well, with that being said, enjoy the football. We got college on Saturday. We got the Wilder fight on Saturday night. We got the NFL slate on Sunday. We'll get back here on Monday with Jimmy Palumbo in studio to recap all the wonderful games that we just watched. And hopefully, for our sake, the Cowboys and the Packers get it done, in which that means Jimmy's team will not get it done. Jimmy might have a bad weekend. He might be in for it. He might have a bad Rutgers loss and a bad Giants loss. So he'll come in here as perky as his nipples were during his little cameo audition. So with that being said, for Sturge and Gooch, and of course AJ from Jersey Mike's. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, and we'll see you guys back here on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Waiting for Jorge to text me about me talking shit that I was the cleanest.
And hold on to the ball, asshole.
And I was by far the fucking cleanest. We'll be right back.